Reformed Church.
Because recently we've been talking about hearing from God, how to hear the voice of God. And, you know, I'm going to go through some more specific things about acknowledging the Lord and really how to really get the voice of God out and how to trust the Lord properly in regards to hearing from Him. And it's really simple stuff, truthfully. But the first thing, though, that I really want to mention before even talking about that is because we initially talked about making sure you're investing enough time to be able to even hear the voice of God. The Lord does need to be acknowledged before we can hear from Him. We'll go into that more in the future, probably. And then also, this past teaching, I also mentioned that it's not optional. This is hearing the voice of God and you having full knowledge of, not just full knowledge of God, but full knowledge of everything, for that matter. All these things, it's not an optional thing. And just like any part of the inheritance that we teach on, it's not something that God does more for one person than another, or it's here and there, and it's kind of always iffy. Listen, this is such an important thing. Everything that you ever believe regarding the gospel needs to be hinged on this truth, and that is that we have these things through a mediator. This is not just between us and God. And unfortunately, the way that the vast majority of Christians talk is as if it's just between them and God, as if their receiving is just God has all the power, and I throw out a little prayer to God, and I ask Him, and He just gives it to me as I'm asking Him or something like that. Again, there's a place for asking, there's a place for prayer, there's a place for all of that, but that is not how receiving works, and you know that's not how receiving works because not in any at any point did I just mention Jesus. And Jesus is the only way to the Father. That means you're not just receiving directly from the Father, you're receiving through the mediation of another person that is Jesus, which is our comfort and our consolation, truly, because He's the one that paid for these things, so it makes us sure that we can receive these things. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that He is the surety of a better covenant. When it's just you throwing out a prayer to God and saying, God, I want to know You more, please reveal Yourself, and you don't know that it's paid for by Jesus, you don't know for sure whether He's going to speak to you or not. You don't even know if He wants to, and if you think He might want to, you don't know how much He's going to want to share with you, and that goes for anything, for healing, for raising the dead. Father, please heal me. You don't, if you don't know it's paid for, you'll throw out prayers to God all the time. You're not sure, well, let's see if it's God's will. Let's see if He wants to do this for me. Because you're acting as if any of your receiving is between you and God, but everything, including your own knowledge. And again, I'm talking about business savvy. I'm talking about any kind of knowledge. In context, we're talking about getting to know God and hearing His voice. But the ability to be able to hear the voice of God was paid for by Jesus. Your very faith, your knowledge of Him was paid for by Jesus. And if you don't know that, you won't have a surety and shouldn't have any surety that you'll ever hear from God. Because think about it, if it's not through Jesus, then what is our surety? That God is just because He's love? Well, God is love, but we don't deserve that. We don't deserve to hear truth from God. I could prove that to you in different ways as well. I don't have time to right now, but maybe in the future. But we don't deserve these things from God. As with anything, Jesus had to pay for it, and that's what makes us sure. And this is why the Bible even says that in Romans 4, it's talking about just the inheritance in general, and it talks about how it's not by the law. It is actually by faith in Jesus, and it said that it might be sure to all the seed. If it's based on our works or based on, you know, Father, did I read my Bible enough this morning? I was trying to read for 20 minutes and I read for 19 minutes. And if you hold yourself to your own standards and stuff and you think you're receiving based on your own behavior, you'll never be sure. You have to realize that Jesus did provide the ability for you to hear from Him. He provided He made you qualified to be able to hear His voice and to receive knowledge from Him. And so I'll read a few verses to you right now, and probably I'm going to have to mostly summarize, but again, this is just foundational. Even in, for instance, while I'm getting here, even for instance, in the Resurrection Handbook, we put out a Resurrection Handbook a while ago, and hope to put out more little handbook type things like that in the future about healing, etc. But earlier on in the handbook, what I wrote in there was just to have scripture and reasoning about the fact that Jesus provided this. It was paid for by Jesus. Because that's one of the most foundational things you can realize about anything you receive from God, including knowledge. So let me just summarize a few things for you. So even in regards to knowledge, and this is in Revelation, this was in regards to knowledge of the end times and God's, on one hand, God's plan for the end times and also a lot of things that are not going to be according to God's plan. But essentially, it was just knowledge of end times. And John, in the vision, in Revelation, he sees a scroll with seven seals on the scroll. And for a seal to be on a scroll, what that's symbolizing is that's symbolizing knowledge that's sort of locked up. You could read Isaiah 29 for a little bit more on this, but it describes ignorance of the Lord as a book being sealed. Like, there's knowledge, but I can't know it, right? And that's probably how a lot of Christians feel too. Like, God has all this knowledge, and maybe other people know God, but I can't know it. It's like a book sealed to me. But here's what's super important. John sees a scroll with seven seals, and what that represented was seven different kinds of knowledge that were sealed up in that scroll. And what it says is that no one was found worthy to open those seals. There's a larger teaching I could do on this, but essentially what that means is, like with any part of the inheritance, you have to be worthy to receive it. It's not just for you to simply receive from God. You need to be qualified and worthy to receive it. Now, thank God, through Jesus makes us worthy. That's through righteousness. Jesus gave us a gift of righteousness and cleansed us to be made worthy and qualified, as Colossians 1 says, to be a partaker of the inheritance. All right? Now, part of what Jesus qualified us for, which Colossians 1 talks about, right? It says that we've been qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Part of what Jesus qualified us for is knowledge. And you see that in Revelation, because you see this scroll with seven seals, and it says no one was found worthy to open the seals. And so John actually starts weeping in Revelation 5, verse 4. And John's speaking here, and it says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders," referring to like a heavenly being, "says unto him, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book." In other words, he's worthy. He's referring to Jesus. When it says the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's like saying the king who was born of the tribe of Judah, because that's Jesus fleshly, that's where he was born. The Root of David, in other words, the one that created David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And he said, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne were four beasts." It goes on from there. "And there stood a lamb as if it had been slain," and it goes on. But essentially, it says no one was found worthy to open the seals. But then he says, "Oh, but the lamb." He sees a lamb, and he this lamb is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed to open the scroll. And that what that was saying was that Jesus was worthy to receive this knowledge. And here's the really important part about all of the book of Revelation, is that as Jesus proceeds to break these seals and to reveal this knowledge, one of the beasts that he sees, that these heavenly beings, each time Jesus broke one of the seals, let me see if I can give you an example of that. For instance, in Revelation 6:1, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals," that means like having revealed knowledge, received a certain kind of knowledge, "and it says, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder and one of the four beasts saying, Come and see." Every time Jesus was found worthy to receive a certain knowledge, one of the beasts would turn to John and say, "You can come and see also." It doesn't even say that the four living beasts or any other heavenly being was worthy to see whatever Jesus saw. But John was able to see whatever Jesus was worthy to see. He was able to receive whatever knowledge Jesus was worthy to receive. And let me just show you why that is. It's Revelation 3, verse 4. And we'll put that up there. But Revelation 3, verse 4, the reason why we are able and why John was able to see, to receive all the knowledge that Jesus received, was because we have Jesus' same exact righteousness. And in the book of Revelation, our righteousness is described as being clothed in fine linen, in fine white linen. And here, it's describing that white linen that the saints, that we are clothed in. And it says that there are a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That's the same term that was being used of Jesus. And it says that no man was found worthy to receive this knowledge, but Jesus was found worthy. And it's no wonder John was also able, that's how the book of Revelation was written. Because whatever knowledge Jesus was able to see, John was able to see also. And why? Because we walk with Jesus in white, and that's referring to our righteousness. And it says, for they are worthy. And that's referring to the fact that we have Jesus' exact same worthiness, which means that because we have his same righteousness, we're qualified to receive his same knowledge. And so this is just one little portion. I'll share a little bit more in messages going forward just because I don't have any more time to go over this. But one more, you don't have to put it up, but one more verse is Revelation 5:12. And it talks about all the things the Lamb is worthy of receiving, how Jesus has been glorified to receive power and strength and glory and blessing. And one of those things that Jesus said to be worthy of there is wisdom. And so the thing that I just want to, just right now in closing, just tell you is that if 2 Corinthians 5 is true, and it is, where it says that we've been made the righteousness of God, not our own righteousness. We don't have our own righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. If you have Jesus' same righteousness, which every single believer does, that means you have the same qualification and therefore the same worthiness. I'm not saying we have worthiness of our own, but we have been made worthy, as we just read from Revelation, because we have Jesus' same righteousness, and with that, we know we have the same inheritance as Jesus. Well, that includes knowledge. And this is why there were even knowledges, if you want to say that, that Jesus couldn't even know in his earthly ministry. He referred to certain knowledge of the end times because he was in a limited state in his earthly ministry, and he said that nobody knows these things. The angels of God don't know these things, and he talks about different times and seasons of the end times, and he said nobody knows these things, not even the Son of Man. He said, but only God knows these things. But in Revelation, we see Jesus receiving this knowledge, and whatever knowledge Jesus received in his resurrection is the same knowledge you can receive now because you have Jesus' worthiness. You are clothed in his white, clean robe. You've been given his same righteousness. And so again, this is just a little starter here just to show that Jesus, the righteousness he gives you, has provided you knowledge, the same knowledge that he has. And so again, we'll talk a little bit more in the future, but that is just foundational though to know that this is not an optional thing for a believer. If we don't receive knowledge, it's because maybe we're not pressing in or because we're not understanding what we have in Christ, but it's not because God is withholding knowledge from you. God wants to speak to you every single bit of knowledge that he has in his heart. God is not withholding anything from those who walk uprightly, and that's talking about those who believe, and that includes knowledge. He's not withholding anything from you. God wants you to know him in full, and we can hear the voice of God. You're already pre-qualified to hear the voice of God. That's every single believer, and that's because you have his same righteousness. You know, let me throw one reference out at you. Read this. It's really, really good. Jeremiah 31. I just got done telling you that it's righteousness that qualifies us to know God. Well, Jeremiah 31 is a prophecy that says the exact same thing, and it says that in that day, in the new covenant that he would make with us, that no one would have to turn to his brother and say, know God, because everyone, from the least of them to the greatest of them, that all would know the Lord. And it says, because I will forgive their iniquity. In other words, it was sin that was disqualifying us from receiving from God. And because you have been cleansed of sin completely, once for all time, never to be dirty or filthy again, because your sins have been forgiven and you've been cleansed, it says that's the reason why in the new covenant, all of his people can know him, and all his people can know him in full, and it's because the Lord has forgiven our iniquity. So I just another verse to show you that righteousness is the qualification even for getting to know God. You have to know that this is something Jesus paid for at the cross for you to have, okay? And one more point, and that is that when you're not hearing the Lord at a particular time or you're not sure what he's saying, that knowledge will keep you seeking him because you know, I'm gonna hear. Why? Because it's already paid for. This is not an optional thing. If you're wondering if God's ever going to speak to you, you're going to give up halfway because you're wondering if you're ever going to get it or if you're ever going to understand it. But God has already given you this stuff. Jesus already paid for it. And when you know it's already paid for you to have, you'll keep going. Even in times where you're not sure what he's saying, you'll keep going because you know this is not an optional thing. It's something that every believer has access to because we're all qualified for it through Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.